Good morning. Today is Sunday, June 30th, 2019. And for the past two Sundays, the Pentecost mindset has been thought-provoking, to say the least, and hopefully motivating. The Holy Spirit awakens us from within. Our understanding is lit up. It actually refreshes our convictions to rededicate our lives to sacred service. And that's always a regeneration. Doesn't mean that we've gone anywhere to a terrible state, but if we don't stay continually regenerated and refreshed, then we aren't excited about moving forward. Every day there should be something exciting. And everything about the Holy Spirit is superseding the natural. It always supersedes the natural. Once we received the gift of Holy Spirit, it was ours. We can't lose it. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We can't break it. Mm-hmm. That's another good thing. Mm-hmm. We can't even leave home without it. I'm not going to say you can't forget it, because some people live like they do. But you can't leave home without it. That's accurate. And at the Lord's return, that gift of Holy Spirit will be our token into eternity. How about that? God's got it covered. Superseding the natural. The Living Bible for Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now glory be to God, who by his mighty work, his mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes." So, it sounds like a biblical expectation to believe what we just read in this verse. To believe, what I mean by that, is to trust God that that verse is true. To read a verse like that and know that we can count on God to perform in us what he has said in that verse. That's how we should look at every verse that is to us in the Bible. God, by way of his mighty power at work within us, is able to supersede the natural, to accomplish his will, which is infinitely beyond anything we would ever think about. Yeah. So when troubles arise and we cannot come up with a solution, God can, and this is why. In verse 9 of Isaiah 55, and I'm reading this from the King James, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's why. It's not a secret. We're never going to be equal. We're never going to be more, that's for darn sure. But his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is all-powerful. He is not subject to mental and physical limitations of mankind. Being omnipotent, which is all-powerful, his power is infinite and limitless. And that is the power that is in us. His power. So when his power is working within us, we then are able to supersede the natural. We may not understand how it all happened. We won't understand how God did it. But we will know that if it says in a verse, he will do it. We know and trust in our hearts that he will. Doesn't matter really if we understand it. We saw it as a promise. We trusted him for it. And we received the benefit. We received the promise. God is all-knowing. He's no beginning and no end. He's eternal. Nothing is known. Nothing is known that to him is unknown. There's nothing known but that he already knows it. being omniscient, which is all-knowing, God knows all there is to know. And, wow, wouldn't you love to have a father that's like that? That knows that much about, my dad's so smart. My dad's smarter than your dad. You know, you hear little children bragging about their parents. Well, we do have that dad who is smarter, who is the smartest. He is all-knowing, omniscient. And God is all-present. Being omnipresent, he is everywhere at once. There is no traffic jam at the throne room of God. Because being all present everywhere, everybody is in the front row seat. And everybody is being attended to at the same time. Because that's the capabilities of our God. That's the capabilities. So it's kind of nice to think about what does omniscient, omnipresent, you know, what does omnipotent, what does all that mean? What does all that mean? Well, it's wonderful to think about all those things. God doesn't want to keep his ways and his thoughts from us. That's not the point. The point is, he's making is that he is going to know more than we know, and we shouldn't be disappointed about that. He's not trying to keep his ways or his thoughts from us. Reading the Bible isn't supposed to be a dreaded event. Well, I'll read my chapter today. Oh, I made a commitment that I'm going to read the whole Bible this year. Oh, God. Halfway through that. We shouldn't think, oh, why would I read the Bible? I don't even understand most of it. Well, that's not a good expectation for spiritual increase, is it? John 16:13 says that the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So the words, we should expect more and more the words to jump off of the page and leap into our hearts, because it's just increasing all the time. And that Spirit of truth, that Holy Spirit in us, will give us understanding and light your way through everyday life. That is why God's message is always, fear not. If we believe these truths that we teach week after week, there is not one reason to fear or to feel inferior. That's another point. We would expect to understand. If I don't today, I'm expecting any moment I'm going to understand this. Could be any moment. Psalm 119:105 in King James, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is exactly why he poured out the gift of Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost that's recorded in Acts chapter 2. By way of his gift, he can light our earthly tabernacle. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9 in the NIV, as it is written, what no eye hath seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, those are the things God has prepared for those who love him. So, he has plans, and they will blow our socks off. Many of them we will understand and realize in this life. I mean, look at the outpouring and the understanding of the great mystery revealed, where that we would be in the family of God. But some things we won't know. They're still going to happen because God has them prepared. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. So that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Many things we will, some things we won't. Verse 13, that is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. He considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Have you ever begun to share with someone and it's like you're looking at a concrete wall that is probably pretty thick? You certainly wouldn't want to give it a kick lest you break your toe. They don't have a clue. So you might think, well, maybe this person is not even born again. Maybe this person doesn't have the Spirit of God, or maybe they're a brand new child of God. Maybe they just got born again and they need to know. They need to be fed, given milk so that they can begin to grow. So from these verses, we can see that within the born again one, the presence of the Holy Spirit is very tender, very tender. Yet, it's very powerful and robust in the way that it works. Isn't that beautiful? More than anything, we should desire to be at home, to feel comfortable, to grow accustomed, not to her face, grow accustomed to the presence of God's gift. Whatever it takes to make that happen, we should each and every one seek it with all our being. Whatever that means to you, whatever you need to do to engage with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know, as Larry shared, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, that's the way that we're going to engage with that gift. We've all been with people who are so easy to be around that maybe when we describe them to someone else, we say, they're just so comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met people like that where you just get lost in what they're saying and you don't think about anything else? You don't worry about the time, or, you know, they're not sitting there adjusting their clothes like they're uncomfortable, or they're not into themselves. They're just thinking about what they're saying and they're thinking about the people they're speaking to. Well, that is the way it should be for us with that gift of Holy Spirit. We should be comfortable in our own skin, spiritually, so to speak. We couldn't accurately number the benefits of the Holy Spirit's presence in us, and there is not one negative about it. There couldn't be, because the Word says it is the gift of God. James 1, verse 17 says that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And last week, I mentioned just a moment ago, Larry taught about the importance of building up the Spirit of God within us by praying in the Spirit, by speaking divine secrets with our Father. So, just imagine in that special place that you like to go and sit, or you like to go and be, and you're talking with your dad. You're talking with your Heavenly Father, who happens to be the creator of the heavens and the earth. What could be more intimate and yet more classified? You know, it's just got, it has the intimacy of being comfortable and being familiar and being confident and loved and all of that. And yet, here you are speaking coded messages between you and the Creator. God created His gift within each of us. It is the most valuable and most versatile gift we could ever receive. You know, all the guys talk about those 12-in-1 tools you buy at these outdoor man supply stores. And, you know, you can open a can of soup, you can take a fish off a line, you can repair this or that, you can fix your glasses, you can unscrew a bolt, everything. Well, that is a versatile tool for sure. But how much greater is the gift of Holy Spirit for being versatile? God personalized it, literally personalized it in each individual. And that is why we should feel comfortable. I mean, there's no need for it to be ill-fit. We don't need to go to an alteration person to make it fit better. He created it within each of us perfectly for us and how we think and work and move and live and have our being for that perfect communication with Him. The gift is spirit and is cultivated by praying in the spirit or by speaking in tongues. An important part of its presence is for communication from the Spirit of God to the mind of man. From the Spirit of God to the mind of man. That is one of the reasons that we need that gift of Holy Spirit. And that supersedes the natural. Think about it. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Creator of the heavens and the earth is able to impress truths upon our hearts and increase our understanding of spiritual matters. We should expect that. He didn't lie. We just read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I read that from the NIV. So, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's what we read in 1 John 1:5. So I want to make it very clear that if someone believes that God has worked within them through this line of communication or spoken to them or worked within their hearts to perform anything ever so slightly evil, that person is deceived. That is a great way to recognize it. That person is afflicted and needs to be delivered. That would never be the voice of Almighty God. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." So should we? No. We shouldn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. It says in the New Testament and the Gospels, and Luke says, we should rejoice that our names are written in heaven. That's what we fill our days with. God does not teach, nor is it His manner, that the end ever justifies the means. For God, light is light, and darkness is anything less than absolute light. God is love. God does not teach us to eradicate evil. That is not our place on this earth. He does not teach us to eradicate evil. He says it's going to wax worse and worse. Get ready. He teaches us to exercise dominion over evil attacks in the name of Jesus Christ, because we are promised tribulation in this life. In fact, we are to bless them which persecute us. Romans 12:14 says to bless and curse not. Matthew 5:44 instructs us to do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. So we're talking about the way in which the Holy Spirit works within our hearts to understand spiritual truths. There are other benefits to the Holy Spirit, but the one we're discussing today is the presence of the Holy Spirit that brings about our understanding. Like Larry said, I think it was last week, he said we might hear a teaching, but the spiritual impact could remain a mystery. It's like, whoo, right over the top of the head. Our praying in the Spirit feeds the Holy Spirit, and our understanding can be enlightened. Larry said, the Spirit of God in us takes spiritual truths and makes them logical to our senses' minds. I remember years ago seeing a special on the scientific and medical evaluation of glossolalia, or speaking in tongues. So I took some time this week. I'd forgotten so much detail about it, but it dated back to 2006, and I guess there was some testing that even went back to the mid-90s. But the principal investigator of this one I remembered was Dr. Andrew Newberg. And the evaluations of speaking in tongues were done using SPECT. It's all caps, S-P-E-C-T. It stands for Single Photon Emission Computed Tomography. How about that? And it's where radiologists measure regional cerebral blood flows throughout the brain while a person is engaged in different activities. So in this particular test, the individual's brains were scanned during meditations and then during singing hymns to get a baseline for the blood flow throughout their brain, and then re-scanned while they spoke in tongues. So I'd like to share some of their findings, maybe for a few of you. This is new, but I'll be quoting this Dr. Newberg, so it won't necessarily be in my way of wording it, but it is the way that they worded things in the scientific community and medical community. So, quote, "We noticed a number of changes that occurred functionally in the brain. Our finding of decreased activity in the frontal lobes during the practice of speaking in tongues is fascinating because these subjects truly believe that the Spirit of God is moving through them and controlling them to speak. Our brain imaging research shows us that these subjects are not in control of the usual language centers during this activity, which is consistent with their description of a lack of intentional control of speech while speaking in tongues." So away from the quote, what that means is we speak in tongues not thinking of what we're saying. Voluntarily, we are willing to move our lips, our tongue, our, you know, all the implements for voice, for verbal communications, having no idea what's going to come out. That's what it means where it's an intentional giving up of our control. Dr. Newberg went on to explain, "These findings could be interpreted as the subject's sense of self being taken over by something else. The part of the brain that normally makes them feel in control has essentially been shut down," and then I add, "by the freedom of our will." Back to him. "We scientifically assume that it's being taken over by another part of the brain, but we couldn't see it in this imaging study where this takes place. Another notable change was increased activity in the parietal. I forgot to look up how to say that, so I'm not going to slaughter it. Parietal region. And that's the part of the brain that takes sensory information and tries to create a sense of self and how you relate to the rest of the world or God. The findings make sense because speaking in tongues involves relinquishing control of what we are saying while gaining a very intense experience of how the self relates to God. We're focusing on these secrets. Not that we understand them at the moment, but we're focusing on what the Bible tells us about the benefits of speaking in tongues. And there are many more than just these coded secrets." Back to Dr. Newberg. "Interestingly, the glossolalia responses were the opposite of those seen in subjects in a meditative state, When people meditate on a particular sacred object, we have found that their frontal lobe activity increases, while their parietal activity goes down. This conforms with the notion that in meditation, one keeps a controlled focus while losing a sense of self. So he concluded that the changes in the brain during speaking in tongues reflect a complex pattern of brain activity, and it is unlike any other. He suggested that since this was the first study to explore this, future studies need to be done to confirm these findings, and these are his words, in an attempt to demystify this fascinating religious phenomenon. Isn't that great? So it supersedes the normal. It supersedes all of that, the natural. So when we speak in tongues, our frontal lobe, which is the willful part of the brain we use to think and control what we do, what we say, it becomes inactive. It is the same for the area of the brain we use to speak in our native language. Now, it might seem involuntary because here I stand, I'm not grasping for the next word, because we've done it a lot. We've grown in it. We're developed. Where we process what we are thinking and how we will verbalize our thoughts. And remember last week, Larry reminded us that we are responsible to speak. God is responsible for what we speak. He gives us those words. One specialist described Dr. Newberg's research as the first of its kind study, where scientists are shining the light on this mysterious practice, attempting to explain what actually happens physiologically to the brain of someone while speaking in tongues. But you know what? It's so ironical, and I'm sure no pun is intended when he said that, but their equipment cannot begin to discern the light of God that has shined in our hearts. And yet, they're going to shine some light on this mysterious practice. I love that the researchers were unable to pinpoint which part of the brain was controlling the behavior of speaking in tongues. That is absolutely incredible. And you know what? Study after study, money after money, grant after grant, they're not going to find that place, because it supersedes the natural. It's spirit. It's not going to show up on an image. You know, they could trace a blood flow so far, but that's about it. The gift of Holy Spirit cannot be seen. Dr. Newberg says, the amazing thing was how the images supported the people's interpretation of what was happening. So they could figure out that this brain activity was associated with how the people described what they were doing according to God's word. This is really cool. There was a psychologist from a university in Canada who has done brainwave research with speaking in tongues. And he said that these findings concur with a sense of oneself being touched by the Spirit. So at some time or other, we have all been intrigued with what we call action figures. You know, those that heroically perform supernatural feats in a war against a villain. We all have entertained this desire to supersede the natural, from G.I. Joe to Wonder Woman to who? Yeah, Spider-Man, Superman. There you go, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. There you go. That's a classic, right? Well, truth be known, we are the action figures. We supersede the natural. And every time we speak in tongues, which we can do at our will, there's a lot of superseding of the natural we can't do at our will, but only when the Spirit of God works through us to perform. But speaking in tongues, we can do at our will. As often as we desire, we can stay in a superseding the natural state of life. Anything relating to us knowing, utilizing, and benefiting from the gift of the Holy Spirit, the devil wants to suppress. Because you can't be dominant over darkness if you know this and do it, believe it, trust it. He's a winner over you, over the one that doesn't know it, believe it. So he gets the fake news going. We used to call it propaganda. Now it's fake news. But, you know, it's just the same old thing in a new dress. It's simply propaganda produced by the hater of God. Is it produced by people? No. It's produced by the haters of God. That's the birthplace. People who hate God produce this. And they get these people who don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, or who just choose to be dumb or block it out, to utter this garbage. You are not going to convince them. There is no sense arguing with them because they cannot see it. They cannot. You could explain it to them in the clearest way. They will not get it unless you are able to reach their hearts with the reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ and his wonderful works. 2 Corinthians 4:4 in the King James, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So, there's your platform for propaganda, for fake news. Their eyes are blinded. They get this wild thought in the middle of the night, and then they get a wild hair and they race to their typewriters and their Twitters and all this stuff, and it goes out. But it's just to keep us from knowing what we have in Christ. Verse 6 goes on to state, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, but the scientist light is not going to find it, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is not ours to determine the time and place for miracles." Those times and places are known only to God, but through studying his word, we can know the nature of love and light, and by speaking in tongues and nurturing that Holy Spirit within us, we can understand what we've studied. We can be comfortable with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is our everything. It is our everything. So gentle within us, the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings, and yet the power that it provides over darkness, and the power that it provides for us to be successful in all of our things, to be prosperous. So in the weeks to come, we'll focus on ways to promote the Holy Spirit's unique place and meaning in our lives, ways that we can exercise to get accustomed to the home of the Holy Spirit so we can be comfortable. We can always work on ourselves so we are best suited for the works of God. God wants us to be comfortable in our dominance over darkness and in our successes in this life. So we love you. Enjoy a blessed week, being comfortable in the Holy Spirit and enjoying who you truly are as you supersede the natural. God bless you.